Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever in the world you are. Welcome to episode 16 of Stemming from Africa. My name is Cynthia Waliaula. So I just realized that the last episode, I forgot to introduce the podcast or myself. So if you stumbled across it and you had no idea, so sorry. I'm trying to get better at remembering to introduce myself. But yeah, I hope everybody's doing well. Thank you so much for the warm reception. Last week, it was a bit nerve-wracking after being away for so long. I was a bit afraid that nobody would be interested anymore. And I was pleasantly surprised when people responded and said they liked the episode. And, you know, still people got back to me and passed their condolences and whatnot. I'm so grateful for everyone who listens. So if you're an old listener, welcome back. And thank you so much. If you're a new listener, welcome. I hope you enjoy the ride. This week, I'll try to keep this episode short, because last week I had the longest introduction. This week I'm going to try to keep it as short as I can and just not talk too much. But before we start, it's so hot. It's so hot in Nairobi. I just need someone to explain what's happening. I'm one of those people who love the heat. Like, I am a child of the sun, love the sun. My only problem is when it's hot at night. So, like, the last couple of days have been insanely hot at night. Like, you're waking up drenched in sweat and just, you know, wanting to shower 3 times a day and avoiding outside. I love that it's bright outside. I love the blue skies and everything. I just wish it would cool down at night, because it is honestly absurd. But let me not complain too much, because when the cold comes, I get cold. Like, my mood changes, I become sad, I'm not the best person to be around. So this warm weather is fantastic for me. If I knew how to swim, it would be even better. But, well, you know, we struggle with some things. Moving on to highlights of the week. I actually don't have any. Oh, wait, I do. Yeah, so I spoke before about my coding journey. And I don't actually know if this falls under highlight, but, well, it's something I'm doing. But JavaScript is kicking my ass. So, I just needed to say that, because JavaScript is really kicking my ass. But I really am enjoying learning. I love learning. I enjoy being a student, enjoy learning new things. So coding has been really interesting, and I'm doing it under a school that has mentors, and they help you figure out when things are really difficult. Even then, right now where we are, it's a bit more difficult than I anticipated, but I'm still enjoying it. So yeah, I guess that's a highlight. Thoughts for the week. Yeah, so you know how you follow people who are like the same as you? So when I became a mother, I started to follow a lot of other Kenyan mothers, and a lot of them happen to be influencers. And I guess at the time, the reason I was doing so was because I just, you know how you have no clue, and everybody, you know, recommended this person and this person. And a lot of the people that I followed were very useful, you know, with breastfeeding tips and winning tips and just how to survive and how to thrive and things like that. But I've been slowly unfollowing almost all of them. And one of the major reasons I recently unfollowed a lot of them last week was because I noticed a growing anti-vax movement in Kenya, which is very scary, because we live in a country where our health system is not nearly where it should be. It's quite bad. And so refusing to vaccinate your child is not just an individual issue, it's a societal issue, because we haven't even achieved herd immunity for a lot of things. We're still trying to get there. And so you'd think that having heard of herd immunity and having dealt with COVID and seeing how, you know, the decisions you make for your health impact other people, that people would be more willing to think about these things critically and take them into consideration. Instead, what's happened, and this is anecdotal, so, you know, I haven't done any in-depth research or anything, but what I've been noticing is that as conspiracy theories have become more common, I don't know if that's the right word, but yeah, as they've become more commonplace, people are starting to take in a lot of propaganda and small bits and pieces of information and put them together to come up with a narrative that is not right. So recently, somebody I follow was talking about how a vaccine, I'm not going to name the vaccine and the diseases because I don't want to propagate false information, but they're talking how a vaccine is associated with a certain condition. And that's not true. It's been refuted. It's been scientifically disproved. And yet this person is somebody who is well known, like a lot of mothers especially follow this person. And they were talking about, they put up like a story, like one of those polls where on Instagram where, you know, people contribute and say things, and she was sharing them. And the general gist of it was people advising other people not to get a certain vaccine. It started with one vaccine and it ended up being, oh, you know, I haven't vaccinated my child, don't plan to, not vaccinating at all. And it just kept getting worse. And so I couldn't do it. So I unfollowed. And it was worrying to me because she shared so many responses. And for somebody who is, you know, just has no information on healthcare and you're following this person who is influential, so they're called influencers, you would think that that is the right thing to do. And this person is now planting doubt and planting misinformation and just undoing so much. And I'm like, if you live in Kenya, that's not even a bet I would be willing to take. I'm not saying it's something I'd be willing to take in a country that has better healthcare, but if I had to, maybe. But in Kenya, where our health system is struggling, I really would not be willing to make that bet. And I also find it very irresponsible because there are children who can't take it because of health reasons. I work in a hospital where I deal with children who have cancer, and those kids can't take a lot of the vaccines, like the live vaccines. And so imagine that kid being in a class with somebody who is unvaccinated and relying on other people to protect them, which is essentially what herd immunity does, is it protects people who are unable to get the vaccine because of a certain reason or the other, like a proper reason, not a made up reason. But imagine this child who has cancer and they go to a class where everybody's supposed to be vaccinated and somebody has not vaccinated their child because of some propaganda that they had somewhere, some conspiracy theory. And the exposure that this child is at risk of. So it just makes my blood run cold, honestly. And it's frustrating to me that people do that and they don't bother to find proper information, because again, the internet is such a huge resource. You can just Google and find things, and you can also ask doctors, like there are professionals out there who are willing to help and are willing to ask. And if you dug deeper beyond the conspiracy theories, you would actually find that a lot of the studies that you're talking about have been disproved and refuted. So yeah, that's my little rant. I don't know if it helps, but I hope it does. Moving on to this week's episode, which features Laura, who is such an inspirational young lady. She is an electrical engineer. She recently graduated, but recently, I mean like in the last maybe 1 to 2 years or 3 years. But it was just really interesting speaking to her about her experience transitioning from school to the workplace, her hopes and dreams. And she's won some incredible awards and just has such brilliant ideas. So I hope that you guys enjoy listening to her as much as I do. And see you on the other side.
My name is Laura Lepore. I was born in Nairobi, however, raised in Botswana in Southern Africa. So people ask me, are you from Botswana? You know, when they see my CV, but no, unfortunately, I am Kenyan. I am the second born of three. So I'm just the middle child, loner in a way. and the boy of the family, so to speak, because my father is an engineer. So that actually inspired me to pursue engineering. However, I pursued electrical and electronic engineering. So doing such a technical course, we kind of bonded with dad. So I'm now, I feel more of the hands-on person in the family among my siblings. We're all girls. I am an auntie as of November 2021. I'm proud of that. Though the wrinkles are coming in, I'm proud of that. And as a person, I just typically love adventure. I love the outdoors, you know, leaving the house. During COVID, that was really a difficult task. But, you know, we overcame, because I also love chilling, like movies, series, something that will grab my attention. I'm a great conversationalist and an omnivert, part introvert, part out extrovert. So growing up, I was an introvert, you know. My older sister is an overachiever. So being compared to that, or just being, I was the last born for some years, I found myself, my solace in doing things on my own, or, you know, my own cheerleader. So I was an introvert. And then I don't know what happened. After high school, then I started going out more. I started interacting more with people. But today, I can confidently say that I'm an introvert around new people and an extrovert around people I'm comfortable with. So that, I don't know what you call that, but that's who Laura is. So one thing maybe I should mention, I cannot speak my mother tongue. In Kenya, that's a big deal, as I've realized, but I can speak Swahili and English, obviously, and Tswana, which they speak in Botswana. So I can understand more than I speak Tswana. But yeah, that's a good card to have under my sleeve. So basically, that's about it.
I love your introduction, because it encompassed everything about you. So we got to learn so much. Relate to you on two things. I'm also introvert, extrovert. Growing up, I was... Now, for me, it's the opposite. Growing up, I was extroverted. And then as I've now grown up, I've become more of an introvert. I really prefer to just be by myself and with a very like small group of people. I don't know how that happened. I used to be very outgoing.
I was about to ask, how does that happen?
I don't know. I think for me, it's also just... It's a lot of energy. I find it to just be a lot of energy. I think growing up, I had so much energy to share. And now it takes me, whenever I am in social settings, I find that it takes a lot of energy for me to socialize. And so I try to keep my socializing meaningful, not necessarily minimal, but with people that I enjoy spending my energy on. So yeah, I think it's just a part of growing up. You kind of change a few things. Also, I relate with you on the not being able to speak your mother tongue, except you're actually better because you speak another language. I live in Kenya and I don't really speak my mother tongue. I can understand a bit of it. And I think a part of it is growing up in a completely different place. So for you, grew up out of the country. And for me, I'm from Western, but I grew up in central Kenya. And so I actually understand Kikuyu and speak a bit of it, because all my neighbors were Kikuyu, and so that's, you know, I picked it up. It's just what it is. But yeah, my New Year's resolution, one of them this year, is to learn my mother tongue. So that's not going well, but it's just February. This time, I am determined to do it. We'll see. At least a bit of it, to be able to speak enough in social settings that people don't look at me funny, you know. So yeah. But yeah, thank you for telling us about you. You're the second electrical engineer we're having, but you said something. You said electrical and electronics.
Yes.
Why the distinction?
Well, by the time I was joining campus back in 2014, there was now that course. It's like they had merged electrical engineer and electronics engineer into one. So you find that we are doing aspects, or we are learning aspects of both. Electrical is more focused on heavy machines and electricity generation, while electronics is more on softwares and, basic electronics, ICT, so to speak. So we did both aspects, a little bit of each. And by the time we are in fourth year, we have an option to major. Which one do we want to major in, heavy current or light current? And as the name suggests, there's nothing light about light current. They're equally, challenging. However, it's called that just for the distinction, because people who pursue light current do more of electronics, waves, gamma waves, x-rays, microwaves. But people who pursue heavy current do more of generators and motors, and so to speak. Yeah, it's emerged it in university. I don't know when, but by the time I was joining, it was like that.
Thank you for that distinction. I keep learning new things here. I keep saying that all the time, and truly, it's an honor. So with that information, what did you specialize in?
I specialized in heavy current. Actually, when I was joining campus, I was inspired by a video of a hologram I saw. So I was in high school, and then some family friend came over, or was I sleeping over? I don't remember. But they showed a video of a hologram, like in the movies, a hologram comes up in the middle of the room and you're all speaking to one another, but you can't really touch it, but you can see someone. So that actually made engineering look cool to me. And that was my goal when I was joining campus. With the good grades, I managed to get the course I wanted. And so when I joined campus, the common saying, vitu kwa ground ni different, was very practical. To get to light, so by the time you're going to fourth year where you have to choose, your grades along the years also show you your strong points. So my strong points were in more heavy current units. And so I did heavy current. Also, most comrades went for heavy current. And so there was a lot of unity in the class. And so I did heavy current, majoring in the heavy electrical components. And before that, I actually wanted to be a vet before wanting to be an engineer. And that was owing to the introvert personality, because looking around, I observed people a lot. And so by that time, I was really overthinking life. You're in primary, you're in high school, and you're already overthinking life. And so I wanted a career that was away from interacting with people, away from daily conversations, like you said, a lot of draining of energy. And so I wanted to be a vet, because now in my head, I was going to deal with so many puppies and so many kittens in the neighborhood. But in high school, we visited Kenya, and my grandmother, actually, when she heard I wanted to be a vet, what she said really traumatized me. She said, we need a vet for our cows here. The vet nowadays. Oh, my goodness. So I pictured myself being a cow vet, and I was like, no, this is not for me. And apart from animals, what else do you interact with that are not humans but machines? So I looked in that direction, and here I am now. No regrets, actually, because I also didn't want to do medicine. And then after more research, veterinary services require you to do some form of medical practice, and no. So that's about it. Yeah, I joined electrical because the future is digital. And also my primary perception of it was that this is actually a cool thing to do. So it was very open-minded and looking towards where industrialization is taking us as a global village. So that's basically why.
It's funny you mentioned being a vet. So digressing here completely, but my brother is a middle child, and my brother is almost exactly like you. So he also wanted to be a vet. And I think part of the reason he wanted to be a vet was because my brother finds social settings just draining. So when you're speaking, I'm like, wow, this really sounds like my brother. It's very middle child of you. But yeah, medicine and I think veterinary and anything that deals with healing people, it's a lot of social interactions. That's for me, probably one of the hardest things about working as a doctor is you have to always interact with people. Your day is spent interacting with people, and not just people, you're interacting with sick people. And so even when you're having a bad day, you really have to put that aside and remember that you're dealing with other people who are in our situation. And sometimes it takes a lot, especially when you're having a really bad day or a really bad time. So I completely understand the inclination towards not dealing with human beings and dealing with other things. So, I get it.
Thank you very much for getting it. Not many people understand that.
I don't know. I didn't used to actually, but over the past couple of years, I've become increasingly introverted, and I think COVID made it worse because you know how people went into the lockdown and were like, oh my God, I'm so tired and so lonely and I want to see people. I was just like, oh, thank God. Enough people I don't need to talk to. So I enjoyed lockdown. I did. I miss it. You know, don't throw stones at me, but I miss not having to go out. I really did enjoy just being in solitude by myself. And at the time, it was just me because my husband was working and I was not, it was just me. I didn't have a child. I enjoyed my time so much. I enjoy my own company. I really do. So completely get it. No judgment here. When did you finish school and what has been your career path up until now?
Okay. I finished school in 2019. It was a bumpy 5 years. Yes, it's a 5-year course. However, I began schooling in Nakuru. That time, JKUAT had opened an engineering department in Nakuru campus. But by the time I was completing second year, there was a lot of back and forth between lecturers and the management. So they decided to shut down that campus, the engineering department, and transferred all of us to main campus, Juja. So that transition was also a lot. I remember, you know, during that time, I'm more of, like you're saying, a smaller circle person. So going to main campus and interacting with 4 streams of the same class, you know, it was really a shocker. And then also joining Christian Union there, that large group of people, it was hard to relate to people. And it was ups and downs, but thank God it was 5 years. And so I graduated in 2019. Since then, I've been part of a lot of things. I've been in event organizations. For example, a Women in Energy conference, if you've heard of some conference and awards ceremonies. I've been part of the organizing team since 2018 and until 2020, I believe. And then so that one I don't count as like a permanent job because it was more contract based, because you don't have conferences all every month. So what the permanent job that I entered was in 2020, surprisingly at the onset of COVID. So April 6, 2020, I was signing my contract. And because of the lockdown, it was a purely work from home situation, which was even better. And so during that time, I used it, like you're saying, to improve myself. I started exercising. My hair really grew. And I actually gained a few. And but also on the productive side, I found myself that I could actually wake up at 9 a.m. to start work, like a 9-to-5 job, And it was an eye-opener, because when I heard work from home, I was like, oh my, I'm a night owl, so I'll just be working at night and then submit everything. They find it in the morning and everything goes smooth. But I found out that I could actually adapt to other settings or other, you know, rules, so to speak. So waking up at 9 and closing work even at 7, I really didn't mind, because the comfort of being with family or being at home, you know, not risking your life going out every day was really not a big price to pay. So that position ended last year, November. So it was 1 year, 8 months of working for, it is an e-mobility startup based in Nairobi West. So since then, I entered the searching pool again, and I'm blessed right now to be, I'm actually new at this position, to be a research and development apprentice at OPBus. You might have heard of it. They have launched the electric bus in Nairobi. It's all over the technical news. So I'm a research and development apprentice at OPBus as we speak. It's a new position, so I can't really say much. I haven't really experienced much at this time, but it is also a new experience, and I appreciate it.
I was actually going to ask you how COVID affected employment, because we've had somebody on the podcast before who had a challenge with employment when COVID came, and I have experienced it. So it's good to hear that it didn't affect you negatively. And also, mm-hmm. I'm excited about the electric bus, because I have seen things about it. So it's something I'm looking forward to. I wish I could ask you more questions, but if you're new, then you're still getting a hold of things. So I will come back in a few months and ask you. I might not put it on the podcast, or I might, but I would love to hear what developments you've made and how that might look for us. So something that I have seen with a lot of engineers, because for some reason I've interviewed a lot of engineers, I think aside from doctors, engineers are the most interviewed people on the podcast. It's good. It's interesting, and I like it. But something that I have picked up is that there's a lot of need for mentorship. And I'm wondering if along the way you have had people who've mentored you or helped you find your direction, because it's something that I'm also seeing is very important as you climb up the ranks.
From university. So you know, in university we don't know how the outside world looks like. And similar in high school, we don't know how university looks like. So in university, you find some lecturers who are truly passionate about what they do. And whenever they lecture, they slide in some advice here and there. So I've had a few lecturers who've really tried to better us as a class or as their children, or so to speak. One of them actually advised us that the direction to go is HVAC. It's into air conditioning and compressors and, you know, that huge industry. And I've actually seen that, leaving campus, I've seen that it is truly an area that is being explored nowadays because of a lot of industrialization. So many companies are sprouting up. So many investors are coming into Kenya. So as an engineer, it is the way to go. I can attest to that. And also, whoever got me into the event organization platform, his name is James Ngomeli. He has really walked with me in terms of mentorship, because he gave me that first job in 2018. And also, as I transitioned out of campus, he also showed me how to write my CV, how to write my LinkedIn profile, what kind of picture employers are looking for. And so I can really attest to much of my professional growth to frequent interactions with him. And it's always about packaging yourself. It's always about showing the world what you offer. And I can truly say that most of my achievements today have been through mentorship, and I also hope to mentor someone in future. There's a little girl in church, the church I used to go to, and she really looked up to me, and it was really a nice experience being another, you know, being a big sister to another younger sister, you know. And so it's something that I can really advise people to go for. Look for someone who enables you to be someone who's better than you, if that makes sense, to achieve your potential. Maybe you need a professional mentor, you know, look for someone in the space and who can really hold your hand through that. Maybe you need a spiritual mentor, someone who can guide you on your road in salvation or something, or a personal mentor who will tell you to go out there, mingle, and, you know, be the best you can be. So I can owe who I am today to mentorship. Definitely, it's played a role in my story. And just to touch on a few things that I've been able to achieve, also because of this mentorship and self-actualization, I actually... not to brag or anything, but I won the Young Energy Professional of the Year 2021 award by E-Innovators. Thank you. It was a success. I was nominated in 2020, but I didn't win. So in 2021, a part of me was like, this is just another nomination. But lo and behold, got the trophy. And I was so excited, whatever I had planned to say, just got lost when they asked for a few words. So it was really an honor by E-Innovators as part of World Energy Day conference. It's an annual conference they do. And in 2018, I actually participated in that conference as a student in a student energy challenge. So my project was on concentrated solar power. It's not the solar panels we see, but it's more of a large scale kind of electricity generation project. So mine was a case study in Kenya. And maybe one of the reasons I didn't win, I was a finalist, but I didn't win, is because they had also... one of the perks of winning was they would sponsor your project, but mine was more of a you need foreign investors kind of project. So I like to believe that that is one of the reasons, but it's really something that I can see in Africa's future. Morocco and South Africa have already taken it up, and maybe in Kenya, places like Garissa, Marsabit, because the insecurity is also... on a decline in such areas, we can look towards embracing this new technology. So yeah, those are some of the achievements. And in the startup that I worked for, I won the Company of the Year award in 2020. It was a completely pro bono application, and I'm so happy to put that on one of my badges, because the electric mobility sector is one that is growing, and such an award, you know, being the face behind that is, if no one else sees it, well, it means a lot to me. So yeah, that's a few of the things that I can say. Mentorship has really helped me embrace my space, embrace my career, and also excel in the same.
I'm proud of you. I think especially women should always talk about their achievements, because typically women don't talk about their achievements, and we're brought up being told, you know, don't brag, don't, you know, toot your own horn. I firmly believe in saying the things you've done, and it's not boastful, but it's also acknowledging that there is a lot of work that went into achieving something. And I think it's so sad that we tell people to, you know, be humble, and not humble in a way of, you know, don't hold it over people's heads, but be humble to never talk about the things you've done. Mm-hmm. Because when you talk about the things you've done, there's other people who are listening to you and being like, oh, okay, I can be like that person. I can do that thing. There's work that has gone behind that. So yes, yeah. Talk about your things. We love it here. I'm really happy to hear you talk about that. You've mentioned two things. So let me talk about the first one. So I want to hear more about your project, the solar project, and how mm-hmm. that would work. So you can go into the technicalities of things because we love to learn new things here.
Awesome. Wow, thank you. I thought I'd just, you know, move over swiftly. But thank you. It's actually something that, in my view, it's a viable project, though it needs a lot of land to establish, because it's about, you have a tower in the middle of mirrors. So the mirrors actually reflect the sun's rays to the top of that tower. And at the top of that tower, you have molten salt. So it's molten salt and it's not water because it retains heat for longer periods of time. And so the molten salt, once it's heated, it moves down into a chamber that has also water in it. And so it heats the water enough to create steam. And like Kenjen, it's more of a geothermal process from there on. The steam moves the turbines, and the turbines coupled to the generator, and the generator generates electricity, and it goes there on to a substation and wherever it goes. And so once the molten salt has finished or has lost its heat to the water and it's produced as much steam as possible, the molten salt then goes back to the top of the tower to be reheated. And the water, which is now steam or cold water, is condensed into cold water and put in a cold water chamber, awaiting more molten salt to start the process again. And so that's just basically how it works. If there are different types of mirrors, there are the curved mirrors, there are the flat mirrors, and some don't use the whole tower in the middle aspect, but they use like tubes or pipes in front, like directly in front of the mirror. The pipe carrying hot oil, or if you want, some have molten salt as well. So especially in the curved mirrors, at the center there, there's that tube that heats up instead of the tower in the middle of everything. So it's basically the same principle, just different ways of doing the same thing. It's good because, okay, if you have the land, if you have the solar power or access to the sun most of the year round, then it is a viable project. In Morocco, it's in the Saharan, it's in an area where the Saharan Desert is. In South Africa, it's in an area that's close to the Namib and Kalahari Desert in Namibia and Botswana, respectively. So in Kenya, we would have it in a place like Garissa or, you know, the northern eastern areas where it's generally hot throughout the year. And some challenges with the project is that, one, it needs heavy investment. And two, some people might say that those are dusty areas. And when the mirror is covered in dust, even solar panels, when they're covered in dust, that lowers their efficiency. But nowadays, to curb that, scientists have come up with nanotechnology, where instead of spraying with a hose pipe everything from top to bottom, you can have little tubes of water droplets on the mirrors or on the solar panels, and that would just like go down with the and remove the dust. So it cuts your water consumption by a whole lot. Given the areas that this would be implemented in, it's not really a place where you can shower in water, you know. But with that nanotechnology, you use a significantly less amount of water to do the cleaning. And it's not an everyday kind of thing. You can clean once a week or twice a week, you know, and that would just keep the efficiency of the project at maximum. So, yeah, it's a huge kind of project. And seeing it in Kenya would really revolutionize our whole renewable energy pool. Because we are in geothermal, we are in wind, we're in solar. So embracing another renewable source of energy will really put us on the map, will keep us there, actually.
Thank you for talking about it. You explained it so that I understood it. So I am sure that our audience will be able to hear because you made it pretty simple. It sounds really interesting. I'd like to see how that would turn out.
I'm really passionate about that kind of technology. It's new here, so it would be the first of its kind here. So since 2018, it's just been ringing in my mind, and I grasped the concept of how it works. Of course, there are the nitty-gritties of thermodynamics and whatnot that would need to be sorted out on a practical level. But yeah, it's I've seen it elsewhere, even in China and whatnot, but having it here is what really makes me passionate about it. So I didn't come up with the concept, but I've grasped it so much.
I'm excited to hear these things, and I hope that, I truly hope we can see them. I hope you can be the face of it in Kenya, because then I can be like, oh, I know that chick. She was on my podcast and she talked about her project. And now look, it's happening, and you guys should really put some respect on her name. So yeah, but that's part of the reason why I think that you should always talk about your achievements, because even when you're talking about these things, it's not like you're sitting back and they're being handed to you. It's you going out there and looking at things and doing research and spending time thinking and drawing and coming up with these things and trying to see what's keeping up with trends and trying to see what's happening. So yeah, talk about these things. I'm glad you're able to talk about that. It sounds very interesting. I would like to see it happen. But the other thing that you've spoken about and I wanted to get your perspective on is you're one of the younger people we've had, even though most people have been young, but you graduated just about 2-3 years ago. And so I'm wondering how the transition was, because you've spoken about mentorship through the transition from school to work. And how was that transition for you? How did you navigate it? Especially since you were transitioning during COVID. What were some surprises you found or things that you encountered that you didn't expect?
Yeah, I encountered so many things. One of which is, maybe there's a switch I'm unaware of or something, but people expect you to have your life figured out after campus. So after campus, I've had so much pressure from my family. Do your master's immediately. Don't rest. What? And to be honest, engineering for me was, once you complete, by third year, you just want to finish the course, honestly. By second year, things get tougher, but by third year, you're like, there's no going back at this point. I just want to get this over and done with. And so don't get me wrong, it was interesting. It was an interesting experience, and it's an interesting course. But by the time I was graduating, I really just wanted to rest. I wanted to switch off and take a break, you know, after graduation, let things cool down. And then, you know, graduation was in November, so I just wanted to like zone out until January. And so that's what I did. But of course, there was pressure from family saying, you should do your master's. I'll talk to this relative who's here and see what universities in their area can offer, whatnot. And for me, master's wasn't really on my to-do list at that time. So in January, that's when I actively began looking for a job. And most places, say you're 21, and then they want 7 years experience. And so that was actually the case in most organizations. You know, you're like, should I have begun experience in kindergarten or something? So looking for experience and not having that, you know, was really a challenge. Although we did internships after every academic year. However, most companies don't count that as experience. They count that as, you know, you've been in the field, you see how it works, but you haven't really contributed towards the technical side. So unfortunately, that was what I felt at the time. So there were so many, unfortunately, emails more than congratulations. And being someone who you're just from campus, you know, you're told that you've done a very good course and it's something that companies need. And then you get so many of those rejection emails. If you're faint of heart, you would really feel like you made a mistake, you know, going for such a technical course or investing so much of your life into something just to be shut down at the first glimpse of sun rays. So there was a lot of that. And also what helped me was I used to attend forums like the launch of the gender, the Energy Act, which had a gender policy that like different companies in the energy space, just their conferences, listening to people in the space. And you go there and you benchmark which organizations look like they're a good fit for you, or which organization is expanding, so you might have a chance there. And you get so many business cards and try to take the conversation from there. So that actually helped me during that period to see that there's more to just not having a job. You can not have a job, but also be out there, you know, not necessarily dropping your CVs, but also mingling with people in the industry, getting to know their insights about certain things. And so when you go for that interview, you're okay with your general knowledge and you're okay with your connections. And LinkedIn actually played a huge role in that. People say that jobs on LinkedIn are just propaganda. They already know the people they want to hire. But surprisingly, my first employer reached out to me on LinkedIn. So what if I wasn't on LinkedIn, you see? So that was actually, I talk about it like it was 12 years a slave, but that was 3 months because I got my first job. I started talking to my employer in March, and by April I was signing the contract. And so yeah, that was the transition to being professional, if I can say that. And some might say that since it was a work from home position, it wasn't really counted as a job. But I can attest to the mental activity that goes on in an office also going on at home. And also the distractions in an office. You might have someone playing music, or you might have, if it's a shared office space, you might have another group just walking in, sightseeing, and that might distract you. They're also equally at home. And so you can do both. It's just the setting that's different. So, yeah, it was a transition, to be honest. Yeah.
I'm glad you talked about not just the challenges, but how you went about it. Because I think when you get a lot of rejection emails, and that's something I can relate with, you can sometimes just want to hide under your bed and curl up and cry.
Yeah.
And like for me, networking is not something that I enjoy. Or I'm still mastering it. I don't particularly enjoy it because it means going out there and being in unfamiliar spaces. It can sometimes be uncomfortable and putting yourself out there. And that's essentially what you've described, is networking almost immediately out of school. And it's something you learn, and it's super important because it's really also worked for me in some ways, but it's something I've had to learn and I can relate to that. So I'm glad that you spoke about the difficulty of the pressure that comes when you finish school. I also did a 5-year course, and I completely relate with just wanting it to be done. Just get this over with and let me go. And then when you finish, there's people are like literally at your graduation, people are, so when are you starting your master's? Like, I've barely finished. Guys, I've just finished school. Let me breathe, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, there's also those nosy people who'd start, so when are you getting married? And it's like, can I breathe? Can I live? Mm-hmm. You know? So I'm really happy you spoke about that and how you went about dealing with the pressure. That transition can be difficult for a lot of people. So I'm glad that you found ways to navigate it and have spoken about it. What do you hope to achieve in the coming years of your career, and in what direction do you want to take your career in at this point? Because that could change tomorrow, but today, what does that look like for you?
Let me go back to 2018. It seems like my whole life began in 2018. So at that time, I was actually, I came out more extrovertedness. You know, it was in campus that I embraced the whole human interaction concept of things. And so in 2018, I began doing announcements in my local church. And so that began as just video announcements, and I'm sorry, audio announcements, and then they'd put on some graphics there. And so it transitioned into video announcements, and it transitioned into me discovering that I can actually do voiceovers. So from that time, I began doing voiceovers for church majorly, and then I started getting contracts or paid to do other voiceovers. And so as a student, making money was addictive, and I ventured into the media space. So there was voiceovers, there were video announcements, there were some skits we used to act as youth. And then it transitioned into a weekly youth show on Facebook Live. And then it transitioned into me becoming a TV host. So at present, I am actually a TV host for a YouTube TV channel called Wema TV. So I host people who go through real life situations and have a testimony to tell. So the show is called The Conqueror's Show because people have conquered whatever adversity their lives threw at them. So I embraced this media kind of, is it personality or what? This media world, and also the engineering world. So by the time this year was beginning, I was in between jobs. And so I asked myself, which do I want to pursue? Do I want to start applying at NTV or Citizen TV? Or do I want to start applying at, you know, engineering firms and Opibus? So there was a lot of, it was a fork road, so to speak. And so in future, I'm actually open to both. Something just told me, why not do both? Because you find most engineers, even some, I call them first class engineers who I studied with, their whole life was engineering. You know, they've done assignments, they've read it ahead of the lecturer, and they've gotten their good grades. But what's more to that? You know, what else can you say you do in your spare time? So I've actually decided to embrace both, whichever doors open in both. Also know my worth in the media area, not to be intimidated by lack of experience in both engineering and media, but also to believe in myself and be confident in what I can do, because the results are there. I'm a very results-oriented person. So if you want engineering results, they're there. If you want whatever I've accomplished in the TV world, results, they're there. And it's been a journey, and it's an unfolding journey, so to speak. But it's also exciting, you know, not to be just someone known for one thing, but known for, you know, you can do more. And it also encourages me to challenge myself. Because at the end of the day, if you're being faced with a situation, you can remind yourself, hey, you've gotten through tougher and you can go through this and you can actually emerge victorious. So yeah, I wear those two hats, and in future, I'm looking to explore both.
Something that caught my attention and that I really, really love is your emphasis on being an all-round person. So your participation yeah. in church, and your participation in your community, and your participation as an engineer, and looking into other things that you may be strong at. So like for you, it's media, which I'm going to reach out to you about voiceovers. But I really do like when people look at all spheres of their lives. And it's something I've been working on to embrace all that, because especially because we're growing your career, you can be so focused on one thing and neglect all other areas. And I find yeah. that when you have that imbalance, it starts to show in not so good ways. It makes me happy to hear you talk about all the things you're doing and how you are so open to things in future. And I am excited for that. What would you say to younger people than you, so high schoolers and people who would be interested in going along your path? What should you tell them to look out for, and what should they be prepared for?
What I can say, because now you're making me feel like a grown up. I didn't think I was a grown up, but you know, we're all growing up every day. what I can say is that it's possible. Let's begin there. It's possible. Going into engineering as a lady, I think that's also why I got in, because the ratio of ladies into as to guys is extremely unbalanced. Even in class, you find that we're 7 ladies and maybe 80-something guys. So it really showed me that here I am, it's possible. I've graduated as well, so it's possible. Yes, there are obstacles like your voice may not be heard every day, but that's something that you can counter respectfully, you know, not forcing your ego, just being, should I say, more grown up about it. And it's something that I've experienced even in the workplace. You know, I worked somewhere where the board was men, and not just men, but men with like 30 years experience. And my direct manager was a man. And then here I am. And then whoever is below me is also a man. So getting my voice out there was really... I realized it in the early stages. And so with that, you learn to adapt to people's, should I say, personalities, and also how they view things, and understand that in their world, women are not really represented, but you can have your voice heard in a different manner. You don't have to shout, you don't have to nag, but in subtle ways, like on every report, write your name, or whenever you accomplish something, sign it, you know, just make it known that you're also doing something to contribute. And also, I can also say that be ready for anything. No one was ready for COVID, and so many people either lost their jobs or couldn't find a job. But I also say it's a testimony as to how I got employed during COVID. So I wasn't even ready for that. I wasn't ready for working at home, but it was a huge plus. And during that time, no one knows, not many people know, but I also got COVID. And since it was working from home, I also kept it from my employer. It didn't affect how I worked. And so be ready for anything. There's a lot that is changing in the world today. Tomorrow you might wake up and see that an organization is hiring only women, or you can join an organization that is only for women, or you can join an organization that is predominantly men. So be ready for anything in terms of, this is more about gender, but also in terms of the engineering space, there are new technologies every day. So also keep up to date with whatever's going on, and try to put your foot in the door, because seeing the monopolies in Kenya, it's full of many people who have refused to let go of their seats, refused to hire new people, who have refused to, you know, this is just a personal opinion, people who have their own people in mind when they're doing recruits. So by God's grace, you might land in such a place and somewhere where people don't want you. But you can prove to them that you are qualified and you are professional at the same time. And it doesn't bother you, because once you're bothered by something that's, it is about you, but it has nothing to do with you. I don't know how that sounds. Then it gets into your head and also affects how you do your work. You overthink and you get stressed, and that's really unnecessary. So yeah, be ready for anything and go out there. Everything is possible. Wherever you are, whatever stage you're in, miracles happen every day. So be optimistic about that.
So that's the conversation I had with Laura. I really enjoyed speaking to her. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to her. I want to end this podcast here. Remember, you can always be featured on the podcast. I have a contact form linked in the show notes. You can fill it in and I'll reach out to you, and you can schedule an interview. It's all virtual, so don't worry about movement. Also, remember to follow us on social media at STEM from Africa on Twitter and at Stemming from Africa on Instagram. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. See you next Friday. That will be all for this episode of Stemming from Africa. I hope you have a great weekend, and I hope to see and hear from you next Friday.